The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome to St. Rose. I see lots of new faces. It's fantastic. Extra people in town for the 4th of July weekend. Yeah. I'm a new face to a few of you. My name is Father Thomas Weiss. I've been the pastor here since September. And I go back and forth between here and Petersburg, St. Catherine's of Siena there. But I've just returned from, I did a two-week retreat in Medjugorje in Bosnia, where Our Lady's been appearing for the last 30 years, every day. It was amazing, the most amazing retreat I've ever been on. And one of the things I came back with was a strong appreciation for the siesta. It was hovering between 37 and 42 degrees centigrade. So right around 100 degrees Fahrenheit. It was hot. And so they have a big mountain, like our Rainbow Falls Trail, that leads up to a big concrete cross on top. And when I was there 15 years ago, I loved hiking that mountain early in the morning. And so I did that again, but for it to be cool enough, I really had to start about 4:30. And I'd hike up the mountain praying the Stations of the Cross, and then come back down praying a couple rosaries, and then pray the office of the Divine Office, which is the priest's psalms and prayer book, right? And then my 40 minutes of centering prayer, and then shower and go to breakfast. You can get a lot done in the morning before breakfast if you start at 4:30. But you're kind of slowing pretty much down by 1:30. And after the first few times after lunch at 1:30, everyone would disappear. And I'm like, where did everybody go? They didn't tell me it was siesta time. Silly American, right? They all disappeared to their rooms to rest for a couple hours. And then they keep going in the afternoon. So the prayer routine at Medjugorje, there's a language group masses between 7:30 and 2, about every hour at two different churches. The English mass was at 10, and the people of Medjugorje, when their first church sank into the swamp, they had found a soft spot of ground to build a stone church, and it didn't last. So they moved over a couple blocks, and they built a new church, but they said, Let's build it big. We want to get the entire town, right, in the church. So they built a church that seats 600 people. Right? We don't have a church in Southeast Alaska that seats 600 people. But they wanted everyone to be able to come to one mass. So they built this huge church. And so the English language mass at 10 a.m. was with 600 people and more people on the outside. You know, we'd make an announcement at communion. If you'd like to receive communion, come to the sacristy door and there'll be a priest. And like there'd be another few hundred people lined up for communion outside the building. And that's going on in each of the different language groups. Italians have two masses. There's tons of Italians. It's the second language spoken in Medjugorje. Croatian, Italian, English. And in the evening program, right after your siesta, you get some more work done. And then starting at 6 o'clock is the two rosaries before Mass, and the 7 p.m. Mass, and then another rosary after Mass, and prayers for blessings and healings. Adoration right after Mass on Thursdays. Adoration of the cross on Fridays. And being there 2 weeks, I got to experience a lot of these things. You know how many people come to the evening Mass? Right, they've already been to their own language group Mass in the morning. So often you went twice. But there'd be 4,000 to 5,000 people at Mass. And everyone receives communion. And there's like 50 to 70 priests giving out communion. You just go out into the midst of this huge crowd and hand out Jesus. And the whole place glows, right, with his presence. And then if you were going to invite people back for an hour of adoration, for a holy hour, right, in America we'd say, oh gosh, 7 o'clock's a little late. People might not come. They start their holy hour at 10 p.m. So from 10 to 11, people kneel in the gravel before Jesus, present in the Eucharist. And they wonder why they feel so darn good when they're there. Because they've been praying for 6 hours a day. Right? Imagine if our full-time job was just to pray. Well, I think that's what Jesus is asking us in today's gospel. Right? He says, come to me. Come to me, you who find life burdensome, and I'll give you rest. Any of us find life burdensome on occasion? Kind of feel like run over by life? You know what the answer is? Pray more. And that's not some new answer, right? Abraham Lincoln, when he felt especially challenged in a particular day, he would spend an extra hour in prayer. It's amazing how generous that allowed him to be. His opponent, who was much more skilled and intelligent, his opponent in the presidential race, who was mean to him, right? Really mean to him, calling him all kinds of ugly names for the whole race. He then, Abraham Lincoln, recognized his intelligence and made him Secretary of State. Prayer, right, allows you to recognize the gifts your enemies might have and use them for God's kingdom. That always struck me as amazing. Right, if I'd just been elected president, I would have taken away his law degree and been really mean to him, right? But I'm like a little child. I want to throw a tantrum. But prayer heals you from your brokenness. Right? Jesus says, come to me if you find life burdensome, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. Does anyone know what a yoke looks like? It's been a long time since we've had oxen yoked in Wrangell. Or maybe anywhere in America. There were a few oxen pulling some carts in Bosnia, especially when I was there 15 years ago. And a yoke is the crossbeam that you would put on the trailer hitch, right, to hook up your oxen. But each yoke is individually carved to match that particular oxen. That's what Jesus is saying to us, right? Come to me. I have the yoke that will fit you perfectly, and I'll give you rest. It's not a rest free of toil or suffering or want, but it's a rest that we might know the Lord. The one thing that was very obvious in Medjugorje is people took a lot of time, they wasted time on their relationship with God. And so they keep coming back because their relationship improves while they're there. And then they go home, and they kind of get run over by the busyness of life. You know, the next 2 weeks after my 2 weeks in Medjugorje, we were with my siblings. And they weren't really interested in praying for 6 hours a day. They weren't really interested in going to Mass with me, or even having me celebrate Mass in their home. Right? So I would sneak out at 6:45 in the morning and go to the 7 a.m. Mass somewhere. It's not a perfect system, obviously. But what God is asking of us is what he's asked of us from the very beginning. That we be all his. All his. all of our thoughts, all of our emotions, all of our passions, all of our desires, all of our dreams might go toward God. You know what the stakes are? Eternal, right? Eternal life, with God or without God. And we make that choice here and now. I have one last story about picking up a cross that might feel too heavy. I was working in Portland at the AIDS hospice, and I met John. John had gotten AIDS. This was while I was a seminarian there. John had gotten AIDS as an EMT. He'd gotten HIV, and eventually, 10 years later, it had become AIDS. His parents no longer came to see him. His wife and children had abandoned him, and, well, he was reasonably depressed. Watching all of your other friends in the AIDS hospice die of this kind of withering, wasting disease is pretty darn depressing. This was before any of the fancy drugs that we have now. And so I'd been talking with John over the last 3 months, and the next week I came in, and he was smiling. And I'm like, either he's going to die tomorrow, right? Or something big has changed in his life. John, what's going on? And he said, well, last week, I had a dream. And I wrestled with God. I said, God, I can't carry this cross. It's too heavy. I don't want to die of AIDS. And Jesus came to him in his dream, and he said, okay, set your cross down. Go in this other room and pick one out. You can pick any cross you want. You're right. Dying of AIDS is a pretty heavy cross. So I'll let you pick another one. This is not an everyday thing. This is a special deal. So choose wisely. He goes into the room, and he's in this huge room, and basically all he sees are like skyscrapers until he looks up way in the top of the crowds, and there's the crossbeams. He's like, not that one. Too big. Or he'd find other ones on the ground, but they were too heavy. They were made out of some substance, so it was impossible to carry. And he's getting a little frustrated. He feels like he's been in there hours. And way on the back wall, leaning up, there's this lightweight, beautiful wood cross, puts it on his shoulders. It fits just right. And he's just overjoyed. And he runs and finds Jesus, and he says, I found the cross I can carry. So I'm so thankful that you've given me this opportunity. And Jesus looks at him and says, but you've picked up the one you set down. Right? Nothing in our life happens without the active or passive will of God. Right? Our Lady of Guadalupe proves that God is tremendously involved in the spread of the faith, right, to the new world. After Our Lady of Guadalupe shows up, millions of people, millions, are baptized and leave human sacrifice for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross because she showed up, right, as the mother of the Son God. Fatima, Lourdes, Medjugorje, all of these opportunities throughout the centuries show that our God is not some dead thing 2,000 years ago, but we have a living God that's active in our lives today. When we are yoked with Jesus, Jesus is on the other side, right? You can't yoke a single oxen. You always have to have two. Jesus is the one on the other side pulling with us. Let's be mindful of that and come to him whenever we feel burdened. Come and sit in this church. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. I don't even have keys to the place, right? It's just not locked. Come, sit with Jesus and let him give you rest.